The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple.
Welcome to The Simple Truth. You did not tune in by accident. This show is dedicated to all believers in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like there's something missing from your walk with the Lord? Are you tired of being deceived? Then you've come to the right place. Grab your Bible and let us introduce you to the real Jesus. Our mission is to help you unravel the Scriptures and gain a greater understanding of God's Word, showing you how the Old and the New Testaments mesh together so perfectly. All of life's questions are answered in God's Word. So throw out any preconceived notions and any traditions of man, and join us as we search for God's truth. This is what you've been looking for.
Well, greetings, friends. We got Mark and Ted back again today, and we're going to continue on with the series that we started on Friday, God's Word, What Does It Mean? Don't worry, you didn't miss much. We didn't get very far into it. Basically, the only verses we got to were Jeremiah 29:13 that says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So the only way you're going to find God is when you search for him with all your heart. And Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So when we search for God with all of our heart, he promises us that he's going to show us great and mighty things that we don't know. Now, we talked about how when you talk to others and you try and explain them or explain to them some biblical principles and get into some doctrinal areas, there's a big barrier that we face because they have different terminology or different meanings for the words than what the Bible assigns. And that's where a lot of, I'm not going to say ignorance, but, confusion, I guess is a good word, of all the denominations come in, because they all pick their own terminology that they want to assign to the definitions, really, that they want to assign to the words. And so they read the Bible, but it means something different to them.
Yeah, it's impossible to carry on a discussion unless you have a base of agreed upon references to go by. You know, like Clinton, you couldn't argue with him very well when he doesn't even know what the word "is" means.
That's a good example. And that's basically what we face. So what we want to do is show some of our listeners the biblical meaning of some of the words, and you're going to be surprised because churchianity has assigned unbiblical meaning to these words. Let's take a look first. I guess a good place to start is Acts.
Well, let's read Acts 17, starting at verse 10. "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so."
Well, Ted, first of all, what is the word and what are the Scriptures? Because I'm sure people are thinking, well, hey, that's easy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, starts and ends with Revelation. What's the problem? That's the Scriptures.
And maybe the Psalms thrown in.
Right. But that's wrong, isn't it? That's not... See, we have to put ourselves, if we're going to act and think like a New Testament church, we have to put ourselves in that time frame, in that period. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, They didn't have any of those books. I'm sorry. They were, you know, they were living in that time period. The New Testament did not exist. So what was the Word and what were the Scriptures that the New Testament talks about?
Well, let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Wow. So here it says that Timothy learned the Holy Scriptures from birth. And from childhood. It says, from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures. So what was the Scripture that Timothy studied? Could this possibly be 2 Timothy? No. You know, this is written as Timothy is a grown man. Paul's writing to Timothy here.
I mean, the earliest book in the New Testament was probably written around the 55 A.D., around there, wouldn't you say, Mark?
Yeah, so there's no way that it's talking about the New Testament. Now, you know, let's clear something up before people draw some misunderstandings or some wrong conclusions. I believe that the New Testament was inspired by God, that the writers were filled with His Holy Spirit, and He inspired them to write the things that they did and saw. However, when these things were being done, the New Testament was not Scripture. When it talks about Scripture in the New Testament, it's talking about Genesis to Malachi.
That's right. That's the only way you can interpret that.
That is the Bible that Jesus read. Jesus read Genesis to Malachi. He did not read Revelation. Now, He gave the Revelation to John, but he did not read Revelation when he walked the face of the earth. He read Genesis to Malachi. You know, he even tells us in different places, you know, he went to the synagogue and they handed him the scroll. You know, what scroll was that? Isaiah, different scrolls. It was what we call the Old Testament. So when were these scriptures written? Let me read you Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So these scriptures were written before for our learning. Like I said, we have to go back to the first century and understand the definitions of the words that they used. And if we can do that, then we will understand the books of the New Testament, because we will then be on the same level of terminology that the authors of the New Testament were. In other words, when they said dog, and they don't say that, but I mean, I'm just using an example. If they write about a dog, we picture a, you know, little four-legged animal with a tail, and you know, he's wagging his tail and barking. But unfortunately, to use that scenario, when the New Testament writers use dog, the church pictures a horse or an elephant, because they've assigned a different definition to the words. So let's go into this and let's look at some of the things that are being written.
You know, as a side issue, now that we've learned what the scriptures mean written about here in the New Testament, for those denominations that do not go by the Old Testament whatsoever, this is pretty important for them to reconcile this fact, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, when we talk to different people about biblical issues, right away, you know, many times they say, well, where is that? And you'll tell them, oh, and if it happens to be in the Old Testament, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. I'm a Christian. In other words, what they're saying is, well, the Old Testament doesn't mean anything. I just go by the New. I disregard the Old as if the New undermines or takes away or undoes the Old. And nothing could be further from the truth, because the New Testament does not replace the Old, undermine the Old, or invalidate the Old. The New Testament is an integral part, and it fits with the Old. It's like a glove over your fingers. They're made to go together. It's one complete thing. It's not one replaces the other. Let's talk about prophets. Let's go into an example. Peter is making a point when he's trying to tell us who Jesus was.
Let's read from Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.
All right. So here they're tying Jesus in, saying Moses said that God was going to raise up a prophet. Now, Stephen tells us who Jesus was. Let me read that. Acts 7:37, it says, for this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. So here Stephen is telling us the same thing, that this is the prophet that, or Jesus was the prophet that Moses talked about. Ted, why do you think they did this? Where did they get this from?
I don't understand what you're... Oh. Well, let's for that answer, let's read from Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him.
So here's where Moses said that God told him that he was going to raise up a prophet like Moses from among his people. So that, you know, where are they getting this from again? They're getting this from the scriptures. This is the Bible that they read. This is the Bible of the New Testament church, the Old Testament. Why are people so afraid of it? Why do people find repugnant, for whatever reason, something, the very Bible that Paul read, that Jesus read, that Peter, James, John, Luke, Matthew, Mark, they all read. Their Bible was the Old Testament. You know, today people argue about the dumbest things. You know, they get wrapped up with, Gail Ripplinger, and does the King James Version, the only inspired version, and sort of like, well, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Well, you know, guess what? Not only didn't King James exist, the New Testament didn't exist when Paul walked here. You know, let's talk about the Bible that Jesus read, the Old Testament. I hope that we're showing you how important this is, and we're going to get into more of this tomorrow. The Seventh-day Church of God, the sponsor of the Simple Truth Show, meets every Sabbath, that's Saturday, at 2:30 in the afternoon. We are not like any church service you have ever attended. Is something missing in your relationship with God? Has God put a burning desire in your heart for you to draw near to Him? Do you need help in learning how to do that? We are located at 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee.
That's 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Central Point Business Park. This is just south of Callahan Road on Central Avenue Pike. Exit I-75 at the Callahan Road exit. That's one exit just north of Merchants Drive. The church is in the north side of the building.